As I get older, I'm always interested in how our English language comes together and what it says. There's a specific word called etymology, not entomology. Entomology is a study of like insects. This is etymology, where it's a study of words, phrases in our languages. And I'm always interested how we get some of these words that, or phrases that we get. And one that came up that we are quite familiar with is the phrase, bless you. You ever said bless you to somebody? I'm sure you have, right? There's a number of reasons why we say bless you. You know, we sneeze and somebody says Gesundheit, right? Bless you. But we say bless you, and I always thought about, well, why do we say bless you when somebody sneezes? So I had to look it up. And I don't know if you care, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. Reasons that this word, this phrase was brought up. Now, in the way back in history, yes, back beyond me, way back in history, people used to say bless you after somebody sneezed because they thought it was protection from the devil. That they were protecting them from the devil, that somebody was sneezing, that they were actually expels part of their soul from inside their body. Can you imagine that when you sneeze, that you would expel part of your soul? So that was out there. So that people would say, bless you, because they didn't want the devil to come in and do anything when you were expelling part of your soul. All right. And now there's another reason out there, that it was protection from evil spirits. So it's kind of the same thing. But it's not quite. But this one was, some believe that sneezing actually forces out evil spirits from inside of you. So when you were expelling these evil spirits from inside of you, somebody would say bless you because they didn't want those evil spirits to go to somebody else. So it wasn't so much a blessing for the person that was sneezing. It was a blessing for all those around that were, you know, recovering from the spittle of that person sneezing, right? Another reason is that back in ancient history, well, not so ancient, I guess, but people used to say bless you because during back when they had the plague going on, people were sneezing all the time. And that Pope Gregory suggested trying to say God bless you for the reason that, you know, to protect people from the bubonic plague, you know, which makes sense, right? I mean, when we sneeze, we're supposed to cover up, right? Why are we supposed to do it? Well, because of the spittle, for one, yes. But the other one is that you're sneezing out germs. So Pope Gregory, he said, well, maybe we should say God bless you for the simple fact that, well, we need to protect ourselves from any possible diseases, especially during that time would come. And one of the other reasons that we would say bless you when a person would sneeze, well, is just from sheer politeness. Sometimes we say bless you, you know, when people sneeze, just out of politeness. And that's okay. We do that to be polite. But I just thought, you know, you have some trivial quiz information that you can take that with you, and that, you know, that garbage information that you can stuff in there somewhere. So that way, if somebody ever asks you, which you never know if that's going to happen, somebody asks you, why do we say bless you? Now you will be the genius in the room. So there we go. That's the origin of saying bless you when you sneeze. The thing is that we use that word bless quite often in our English language. We use it quite often in the language for many different things. We use it when we're asking God to rain down his blessing upon us. We ask God to bless us, right? Every Sunday morning, I come together just like this Sunday morning, and I pray a blessing over you. I ask God to bless you in some way, some form. As we pray to God, sometimes we actually pray for God to be blessed. You know, that he would be happy, that, you know, he would receive some sort of blessing from our prayers, you know, that's how that goes. And that we use those words in conjunction with each, you know, the blessing, sometimes to bless ourselves, sometimes to ask somebody else to be blessed, sometimes we ask God to be blessed. But whenever we use the word bless, and we're doing it especially in a prayer, we do it for ourselves or we do it for God. One of these is an act of adoration. And one of these is an act of benefit. We ask for ourselves to be blessed. That's an act of benefit for us. we ask for God or somebody else to be blessed, well, it can be a benefit, but it's also an act of adoration to our God, to our Lord and Savior. But no matter what and when and how you use that word bless, it's still a blessing, right? You're asking for a blessing, for somebody or something to be blessed. And we use the words bless, we use these words to express our thanks to, you know, or good wishes to other people also. Oh, God bless you. Oh, God bless you. You know that person? God bless them. You know, we use that word quite often. We ask it in that way to wish others well, to say bless you. You know, I ask a blessing. We pray blessing. We even say be blessed for the entire week. So there's many ways, many times, many opportunities that we have to say bless you or bless in our daily lives. Just like we said, we use it when we're sneezing or with somebody else. But the problem is with the word bless and the way we use it, it's become so commonplace to use bless or bless you that it seems to have lost its power and its intentionality of what it's actually supposed to do. That when we say bless you, are we saying bless you because we actually mean it from in our heart for something? Or are we just saying it because it's a common thing for us to do? To say somebody, oh, bless you. I know many people that say bless you after they're talking bad about somebody. Oh, bless them. Like they're putting a Band-Aid on it to make it seem like it's better. Like you're not gossiping or doing something else. There's plenty of people that do that. But we need to say bless you. It's supposed to have a purpose. And this purpose of saying bless and having bless you is actually to praise God. We're supposed to praise God and ask for blessing on other people, to point other people to God and to ask blessing upon God Himself, right? To say, bless you, and truly mean it. And we've been learning about the Hebrew language here lately, but the Hebrew language uses a unique word to relate the meaning of blessing on somebody. And this word is barak. Barak. B-A-R-A-K. Barak. And this word, for those students of maybe the Bible or students of Hebrew language, Barak has deep roots in Scripture that are rooted there. And we don't have to turn very far in our Bibles to find that word bless or the word Barak in our Bibles. In fact, if you have your Bibles with you, why don't you pick them up? And why don't you turn to the book of Genesis? In the book of Genesis, right in the beginning, in chapter 1, we see that this blessing, or the meaning of this word Barak, is used in there. The first chapter. And right at verse 22, where it says, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water and the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. God used the word Barak, bless, to say to the fishes and the birds and the animals to go forth and be fruitful and multiply. He was blessing what He had just created here and the life that He had just placed on the earth. And you don't have to go very much further in Genesis in chapter 1 to see that He blesses somebody again in this way of Barak. In fact, you can go to verse 28 where it says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. And of course, He was talking about human beings, Adam, Eve, at that point in time where He had created them and said, I bless you, I want you to go out, I want you to, this is what I gave you. This is yours. Go out, subdue it. Be masters over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and the animals of the land. He's saying, I want you to be blessed, to be Barak. So we see these words, these blessings very quickly in the Bible. In fact, if you were to count, now I don't expect you to count, but if you were to count, and just in Genesis, you would see that blessing that put in there 62 more times just in Genesis. And part of that, where God blesses us all the time. He blesses us in multiple occasions and in multiple ways. He blesses us. This blessing was applied in there. But Barak doesn't merely mean to be blessed or to have a blessing, but it means for God to be blessed too. How many times do we ask for God to be blessed? And a blessing just merely means for us to kind of be happy, right? How many times do we take a moment in our life when we're praying and we ask God, I want you to be blessed? Noah was no stranger to a blessing. He was blessed many times, right? We know who Noah is. He built the ark. He built things. He put them all together. And he sailed these. And God blessed him because he saved him and his family. But Noah, being a person of God, also asked for God to be blessed. So if you're still in Genesis, roll to chapter 9. Chapter 9 in Genesis. Because in chapter 9 of Genesis, it talks about God being blessed. Now some of you might have a different translation where it uses different words, but it will make sense to you in just a little bit. We're in Genesis chapter 9, verse 26, where it talks about how God asks that he be blessed, where he says, praise be to the Lord, the God of Shem. May Canaan be the slave of Shem. Praise be to the Lord. If you look in different translations, like the New Living Translation, it actually says, may the Lord, the God of Shem, be blessed. Praise be blessed. This is where Noah is asking for the Lord to himself to be blessed and blessing his family as he goes. You know, that word Barak, that bless, is one of the ways that we praise God. It's one of the ways that we take time out of our day to say, God, I praise your holy name. I ask for blessing. I ask you to be blessed. And that's one of the reasons why the Hebrews used it as one of the seven words of praise in the Bible. When they were talking to the Lord, when they were praising God, they were Barak. And we all know from the last few weeks that praise truly means that we need to sing out. We need to shout out for joy. We need to raise our hands up. Just like Jessica talked about last week, about raising your hands and shouting out and being in your heart having that song. We talked about Tamar. We talked about Tehillah. We talked about Yada. We talked about Toda. We talked about how those words of praise are about singing. They're about plucking strings. They're about pruning. They're about holding your hands out in an open fashion to praise God and to give your life truly over to Him. But this word Barak not only means to bless, it has true meanings in being and submitting yourself to our Lord. Which is why the word Barak is so relevant to praising God. Because the word Barak also means to kneel down. To kneel down and praise God. It means to come before God and to submit ourselves. It means to present ourselves, to present respect, to present reverence to God, to barak Him, to praise, to kneel down to Him, and truly let our Lord know what He means to us. And that we kneel down sometimes to do that. We talk about how praise is so prevalent in the book of Psalms. And in this book of Psalms, in Psalm 95, it speaks specifically about how we're supposed to come and we're supposed to sing together. We're supposed to shout for joy. We're supposed to, you know, give our best to God to do those things. But it also talks in that Psalms 95 and verse 6, it talks about how we're supposed to come before Him. We're supposed to come before Him with thanksgiving. We're supposed to kneel down, to bow down before Him. And to show Him our love and our praise and our respect, our reverence, our submission sometimes. You know, we see so many times of people kneeling. And those praying to God who get on their knees and they sit there with their hands folded together and they're praying to God. Just like in this picture, they're praying to God and saying, asking God for something to say, "Hey, Lord, I come before you and I ask this of you. I praise your holy name." There's also times that they come together where they're crying out on their knees. And they're talking to God because they come before him and they come in such a way as either they're coming out to cry or they're coming out even thanksgiving to say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for all you do." And they do it from their knees where they're truly giving him homage and saying, "You are the center of everything. I am not." And they shout for joy in that way and they give him praise in there. It's not unusual for people to come together in a corporate setting and in a stance and to be in a group setting and to kneel before God. There's certain churches who do that all the time. They make it part of their service that they kneel down before God. And all this kneeling and all this going on and this praising, what is it for? It's to show our dedication to God. It's to show that God is most important in our lives and say we're dedicated to him for what he has done and who he is. To say, "Thank you, Lord. The greatest king that ever was in history, King Solomon, was one that came together in front of his nation, in front of his people, and he got down on his knees. He got down on his knees, Solomon did, the wisest, greatest king, and he prayed to the Lord on his knees. This man who ran the mightiest nation that the world had ever seen got on his knees and he gave thanks to God. He humbled himself in submission. I think about the last time. When's the last time we knelt down ourselves in just submission to God? You know, we get mad at God sometimes because he's not doing what we want, so on and so forth. But it's like, when's the last time you just submitted yourself to him? When's the last time you knelt and prayed? When's the last time you knelt and was just in his presence? We need to submit ourselves sometimes to God to do that, to kneel before him, to receive the blessing, to barak. But sometimes we have issues with that because we're a very proud race. We're very prideful in our ways. And we have times we don't readily like to show our submission to anyone or anything. We have that way of bucking authority, to be resistive of it. And maybe perhaps that's one of the reasons why we don't kneel sometimes, especially when we're before the Lord, to come to our knees and to truly show him, submit to him. Submitting to God can have tremendous benefits. When we submit to God, we truly understand that he's in control of things. And no matter what happens, he's always going to be in control of things. And maybe perhaps that's the reason why we don't kneel sometimes, is because we don't like the feeling of not being in control. But we have to submit sometimes. But this act of kneeling now, as we talk about it from here, is not just meant for displaying submission. It's not just meant for displaying respect. It's not just meant for displaying reverence. It's not just meant for that. But kneeling is also a way of displaying comfort to others. And maybe you're confused by that a little bit. of how is kneeling displaying comfort to others? Well, sometimes we come together and we kneel before God when we pray for others that they too will be comforted. Then in our earnestness, we would come before God and we would pray for comfort. Even in the season of our own hurt, sometimes we're praying for others' comfort, and we will kneel and pray in such a way that we project our heart into it, and God really truly understands and is connected with us so that others will be comforted. And you know what happens sometimes when we do that? We all of a sudden become comforted ourselves. That when we put others before us, somehow it reverses upon us. It's like, God, you're here with me now and you're comforting me. That we come together, we bow to our knees. When we're there, God blesses us. When we're in that moment, He shares Himself with us, and we feel the joy and the happiness which frequently comes from putting others before ourselves, of being a part of that and saying, I truly, truly want to be a part of you. And I pray for others. I found myself this week with Noah, and we were praying for him. I went home and I was laying in bed and I couldn't sleep. And I was there praying for Noah. You know, tears coming down my face. Praying for him. And in the midst of that, I found myself being comforted. That somehow God came into my heart too. And He comforted me. When something happens inside of me when I was comforted because I was able to pray even more fervently, had more passion inside of that. Now, I was on the bed, but in my heart, I was kneeling. I knelt before Him, and sometimes that's the way it happens. It doesn't actually mean sometimes coming to your knees because, well, let's face it, we're getting older, and sometimes getting up is hard. But you still can kneel inside your heart. You can submit yourself inside your heart. And when you do that, something happens. In the midst of that, I recognize the fact God was comforting me. How often, or how rarely do we recognize the fact that God comes in to comfort us while we're kneeling, while we're praying, while we're doing these things? How often, or how rarely, I should say, do we not recognize the fact that God is actually kneeling beside us and comforting us? He tells us everything's going to be okay. He says, no matter what you're walking through this moment and this time, everything's going to be okay. Why? Because I'm here. I'm kneeling beside you. And I will not leave your side. That's that God kneeling on there. I want you to get that mental picture in your head of God kneeling next to you. There's a special place in the Bible. In fact, it's still in Genesis. That God shows somebody very special, and comforts them during their time in Genesis chapter 25. I want you to turn there with me in Genesis 25, please, because I want you to see this fact of what God is actually doing in this moment, in this time, that He's with somebody. And I want you to have that mental picture in your head of God kneeling and helping this person. Genesis chapter 25, and if you're there, go to verse 11, where it says, and after Abraham's death, God blessed his son Isaac. God blessed his son Isaac. God Barak. God knelt there with Isaac to comfort Isaac after the death of his father. To give him love, to let him know that he was there with Isaac. Perhaps you may have seen this before, maybe not God kneeling and comforting somebody, but happily, maybe you've done it before where you've seen a parent that gets down on their knees to comfort their child after they're hurt or they've had a bad day. If you haven't seen, maybe your parent do it, maybe you've done it, maybe you've seen somebody else do it. That they come down to their level and they provide comfort for whatever they're going through, of kneeling. This is what God does.
He kneels when he needs to kneel. He kneels, he barak, to show his love for us. And if we take the time, when we walk through things, if we take the time to just slow down and to feel his presence, we too will recognize that. And we will know the love of our Lord because he's kneeling beside us, because of Barak. And we know this because God has unfailing love. The psalmist wrote in 119:76, says, "May your unfailing love be my comfort." How important a statement is that? Your unfailing love be my comfort. And folks, if you doubt God's unfailing love, doubt no longer, because it's not, there's no failing. It does not end. It's forever. And it goes on and on and on. Sometimes we can block it off. We can put our walls up. But it's always there knocking on the door, saying, "Let me in." Because our God has such unfailing love for each and every one of us. And when we kneel, when we come before him, we're demonstrating our unfailing love to him. To say, "God, we praise you. We kneel before you to let you know how much we love you, how much you are truly part of our life." That's why kneeling is so important. That's why praising God is so important. Coming before and kneeling before God is an act of praise. And this praise gives us so much in the end, that we feel and we have access to whatever our Lord is wanting us to have. That yes, we submit ourselves, but also it's for us. We're there showing our love and our gratitude as our Lord is showing us his love and yes, his gratitude. And it's something that we do not to just signify that he's in our life, but that he's in all creation itself. God is part of everything. God has blessed everything. But we are special because God doesn't kneel before everything. He kneels before us. And he shows his compassion and his mercy and his grace. He shows us his strength. He shows us his courage. He shows us exactly what he needs to show us when he's kneeling. And that's the exact same thing that you're doing when you kneel and you're praising God. So again, if you're one of those people that can't get down on your knees, that's fine. But kneel in your heart. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's also nothing wrong with getting down on your knees and praying to God and showing him your heart and who you actually are. Now, as Jessica did last time, she gave an opportunity for you guys to kneel. I give the same opportunity. As we come together in the closing for today, if you kneel, you need to kneel. It's nothing like showing God physically what you also have in your heart. Kneel before God. Praise his holy name. Praise his greatness. Praise him for who he is, not always what he does for us. Because Barak is truly a way of praising God and showing him how much he means to us. So if you would, stand. We're going to close out the service in song. And I pray that you would understand the fact of what it is to Barak, to bless, and to kneel. And that goes amongst all the other ones, to Yadah, to Todah, to the Zamar, and to Hila, because they're all praising God. And we can come together and we can praise him mightily all of us. Amen.